Hello, and welcome to the Social Media Show podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Pollinger. This is the audio version of the Social Media Show, which goes out live on Facebook at 9 a.m. on Mondays. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe. In this week's episode, entitled Demystifying Podcasts, I'm joined by Serena Gay of Made For You Podcasts. We talk about what you need to get going with podcasts, why you should be creating them, and why you should be listening to them. Good morning and welcome everybody to the Social Media Show. Great to have you here with us on a Monday morning. So today we're very much focused about podcasts and great to have my special guest Serena Gay of Made For You podcast with me today. Good morning, Serena.
Hello, good morning.
And whilst we're on the subject of podcast, it is appropriate for me to mention that this show is actually available as a podcast now. So it is on all the major podcasting platforms, which I'm sure we'll be talking more about in due course. And as well, you can also watch the replay here as well. So Serena, podcasting, I mean, it's definitely on an upward curve, isn't it? You know, every time I turn on the radio, the BBC, you're kind of like plugging their latest podcast. It's all on a lot of sort of like online tech websites that I read about. And I see a lot of people linking to their podcast on social media as well. So what, before we actually get into why it's popular, I mean, what is podcasting for perhaps people that have just got a rough idea of the concept but don't really understand what it is and how it works?
I guess essentially it's like an informal, it's like a series of informal radio programs that are accessible via various different channels that you can download and listen to whenever you want. And that's really what, in a nutshell, it is. And it is incredibly convenient. And that is why it is growing in popularity. But it is audio. It can be different formats like interviews or solo programs or panel programs. It can be drama. It can be reporting on current affairs. It's just a massive range of different subjects can be covered by podcasting. And it's not going to be on radio, although increasingly it is sort of, radio is sharing
that podcasting.
Sorry?
A bit of a crossover between podcasting and radio.
Exactly, increasingly, especially with BBC Sounds coming into it. But you should think of it, I think, as informal radio programs or audio programs that you can download and listen to whenever you want to, whenever it's convenient to you.
So kind of like radio, but just with that added convenience then, because it's at a time of your choice rather than when the broadcaster decides to put the program out.
Exactly. And I mean, it is actually revolutionary in that sense, in that you're not bound by what the program organizers plan. You know, you can decide when you want to access this download, be it something that you can learn from or be entertained by. And I mean, so many people you see walking their dogs, you know, with their earbuds in, listening to download. I personally do it when I'm exercising, not that I exercise enough, but I do. And also when I'm cooking in the kitchen, when I'm cleaning the house, there's always something that I choose to listen to, not what the radio planners do. So, I mean, it's incredibly versatile format.
It kind of helps you make best use of time, doesn't it? I mean, for me, I listen to them a lot in the car because you can just basically, if you've got a sort of car that supports Google or something like that, you can just speak to it and ask it to play a podcast, which is great. So I kind of like to bone up on all the latest social media stuff and all the chat and discussion around that when I'm in the car. But I mean, what strikes me also is that there's an absolute wealth of really useful material out there, isn't there? Both sort of useful in terms of if it's educational, but like you say, even sort of plays and drama if you wanted to be entertained as well. And some of the interviews are also quite entertaining as well as being educational. So on an absolute huge range of subjects.
Absolutely. And in fact, I think one of the really special things about podcasting is that it can appeal to a niche audience. You know, you can find podcasts on subjects that Radio 4 would never have covered in the past. Mm-hmm. For example, woodworking. You know, who would have produced a radio program about woodworking years ago? So that it podcasting appeals so well to people who've got particular niche interests, and it is also why it is appealing to companies, because they feel that they can get their message out there as thought leaders on their particular subject. And so you know, it's massively increased what is available to people to be able to bone up on, find out about.
So you're touching there on why businesses should podcast, and you mentioned thought leadership, but there are lots of other good reasons as well. You know, what would you say are the sort of main business benefits of podcasting? And also, is it suitable for freelancers, somebody that works for themselves to have the podcast?
Oh, well, I think it is. To answer the second part of your question there, I think you're, you know, a prime example, aren't you, with what you're setting up here? Because the material that you're recording today will go to make, I hope, a great podcast for you.
It will, yes.
you have gone out and equipped yourself. I don't know what equipment you're using actually for this, but it's perfectly feasible for small businesses to set themselves up and do it, and we can talk a bit more about that later. But in terms of why they would want to do it, I always start from the point that podcasting is still a really empty space. It's quite busy in the United States, but over here, you know, there's room. There's a lot of room for people to get into podcasting and to make their presence felt. It will really help you stand out from your competition in terms of being able to get through to your target audience.
Interesting, because it's kind of a bit like, would you sort of say there's a parallel with social media about sort of 5 or 6 years ago, when it was just beginning to sort of like get going, but if you got in at that time, it was popular, so people were seeing your stuff, but not too popular so that you weren't absolutely swamped in terms of the content. It feels like there's a bit of a parallel with podcasting now.
And it has to be said that we've all got inboxes that are stuffed with, you know, blogging, emails, information sheets, and it's crowded, you know, and it's difficult to find the time to actually sit down and look at a screen and read all this stuff. Whereas with podcasting, if you can, you know, easily download it and listen when it suits you, as we've already discussed, it's so much convenient. And so therefore it's just a new way of getting through to people, it's effective in terms of using time, but above all, I think it is putting a human voice to your brand, and people, you know, can make that human connection and associate a human voice with a product, and I think that's a priceless thing. People are showing incredible loyalty, actually, to their podcasts, and they are responding to the messages that are coming through on the podcast. Now, admittedly, it's still the case that the kinds of people that are listening to podcasting tend to be higher earners. So they've got more money to spend. But it would appear from the figures that are coming through from official bodies that people are responding, they're reacting to what they're hearing on podcasts. In fact, I think, if I remember rightly, it's 76%. So let's rewind a tiny bit here. These are figures that have been produced by Acast and Ipsos Mori in conjunction. Right. So Acast is a podcast platform, and it also sells podcast ads. And Ipsos Mori, as we know, is... does this kind of thing. And together they have come up with some very useful statistics. And they have worked out that podcast listeners tend to earn around 28% more than the average sort of population, and that they're ready to spend this money. And so what we're talking about here is a potential podcast listenership that is has got money to spend, is interested in listening to podcasts, and will react to your ads. So already
pretty you're valuable looking, audience then.
It's a pretty valuable audience, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's something to bear in mind. But also the mere fact of being able to put yourself out there, you're increasing your profile, you're putting a human voice to your brand, you're helping your target audience find you and find what you're doing and go sending them to your website, hopefully to make purchases. So, you know, it's just a brilliant channel for promoting yourself. So that's why I'm such a big fan personally.
Yeah, some excellent business benefits there. Thanks for that. So if you are watching, please do say hello so we know that you're there, those that are watching live. Good morning, Judy. Great to have you on the show. Good morning, Alexandra. Hello, Barbara. Got a bit of a technical issue there, but hopefully you resolve that. And we've already got a first question, actually, from Judy. Where do you look for podcasts? Are there websites? Very good question.
Well, I tend to direct people to their smartphone. There are apps sort of inbuilt on the smartphone. In fact, if you look for the purple icon, Apple Podcasts, used to be known as Apple iTunes, and you'd simply press on that and up comes a range and a search function so that you can look for what you are interested in listening to. I think they also have recommendations. And so that's, for me, that's the simplest way to do it. But there are other sort of websites like Stitcher and Spotify, Google.
Point out that those ones, you can get those on Apple devices, but they would be the sort of main Android ones, wouldn't? I can tell you're an iPhone user.
Whereas I'm
Android. I'm a bit of both, but I tend to use Stitcher. And actually, it's quite sort of illustrates the point you were saying about podcasts being hugely popular, because Spotify have really embraced the whole podcasting thing now. You couldn't access podcasts on Spotify before, but they've taken over one or two companies and they've got a whole podcasting section now. So if you're already on Spotify, that's a pretty good place to look for podcasts nowadays. So we've also had an answer from Barbara. So great to people helping out as well. Castbox, I've not heard of that one. That's, of course, the Play Store on Google. You can literally just type in the word podcast and you get a whole bunch of podcast apps there. You can find podcasts on some people's websites, mine included, but that's a sort of less common way of doing it, really. Mine's also, like everybody else, is available on the major apps. So it's probably apps is the best way to go because it's convenient, isn't it? Again, if you've got it on your phone, the whole convenience thing of when to listen, when you want to listen, and also convenience of access through your phone that's going to be with you most of the time. Do you have to be quite techie to set up a podcast, would you say?
I don't think you have to be a techie, a geek in that sense at all. But you do have to put aside a bit of time to work out how to do it, particularly when it comes to the audio editing side of stuff. It's easy to get information on the kind of microphone you need, on the kind of all the different aspects, the software you might need. Adobe Audition is the one that I recommend. It's easy to inform yourself about what you need. Actually, then putting it all together, requires a bit of time, requires a bit of thought. And particularly when it comes to, as I just mentioned, the audio editing side, not everybody takes the audio editing seriously. And they push out podcasts that perhaps the audio quality is a bit lacking. And I think that as podcasts become more popular and people listen to them more, the expectations of the standards, audio standards, is going to rise. And so therefore, I think you're shooting yourself in the foot if you don't bother to think about this, learn about it. I trained as a BBC radio journalist, and then I went on to do all sorts of other things as well, including being a voiceover artist. And I had to learn the whole process of audio editing a voice that reads books. So the standards for that are incredibly high. And so my own standards are you know, the level is pretty high. And I don't expect that people would need to learn it to that degree. But you do need to know about, you know, noise removal and making sure that your noise levels are all equal throughout your podcast, so that people aren't constantly switching the dial to sort of get the volume back up, you know. So there is a degree of knowledge required. But I don't think that means you have to be a geek. It just means you have to spend time looking at the, and there are loads of them, you know, YouTube videos that will explain different aspects of it. So you know, it's possible, but time consuming, I think.
And you've been very, very shy so far in talking about your own services, Serena. So I would imagine that all this stuff we've been talking about, audio editing and so on, that is that something that you can help with, that you offer people? Yeah, what is your service actually? I mean, let's get straight to the point. What how can you help people with their podcasting?
So I offer an A to Z service. So I can literally come in and just do the whole thing for you, or do it in conjunction with your staff. But in terms of doing the whole thing, so I can come in, we can talk about what you want to achieve through having a podcast. I can research, finding the right people that you ought to be interviewing, the right subjects that you ought to be pursuing, the right channels for finding news on, you know, what you want to be projecting. So all the planning, I can do. I have a journalist background, so that's what I'm, you know, an ideal range of knowledge for that. Mm-hmm. And then I have the recording material, the recording devices, so I can actually set up the recording. I can advise on a recording environment, how to make that work in your offices. Be present for the recording, make sure everything goes well. Present if necessary. I have presenting experience, so that's something I can do. I can also train members of staff to do it. That's a service, special service that I offer.
Sorry to interrupt. It sounds like you could do everything, and by all means, continue in a second. But can you do that on a sort of mix and match basis as well? If people say just want one sort of aspect of your service,
yeah, absolutely. I've got one client at the moment who I'm actually just helping to launch. So they didn't. They had a rough idea what they wanted to do, and had already recorded some stuff, but the quality wasn't that good. So I advised them on how to improve the quality, and I'm helping them to launch. So in addition to planning, recording, presenting, training, then I also do post-recording work. So I'll audio edit for them. I can then put it up onto the podcast platforms for them and produce promotional tools for people to then promote it on their social media channels. So things like audiograms, which a lot of people may not be familiar with, but they, in terms of the word, but they've probably seen them on their social media channels. You know, it's like a picture with audio. It's a still picture with audio, and then subtitles with what's being said underneath. And I'm happy to produce those. So really, an A to Z service.
Excellent. Got a couple more comments and questions coming in. Please do ask your questions. It's great. We're here to help, and we'll put relevant information in the links after, in the comments afterwards. For example, to Serena's website. So just got one from Alexandra here. Do podcasts last forever? Are they stored on a cloud, Serena?
Well, it's really up to you how you publish them. But I recommend that people go onto a platform called Buzzsprout. And Buzzsprout, for a small amount of money every month, I think it's $4 actually, will maintain your podcast as evergreen. So it's permanently up there. They'll host them for good. I mean, they charge more for other services, but if you just want to keep them alive for ad infinitum, there is a cost, but it's a very small cost. And if you are able to host them on your website, not many people are able to host podcasts on their website because of the sheer space that a podcast will take up. Mm. Then of course it remains evergreen because it's because you're in control of it. But mainly people use a podcast host, and there's a small charge for making sure that it's permanently available.
Brilliant. So if people are, you know, they choose to do it themselves, what do they need in the way of hardware and software then?
Right. Okay. So what I recommend is a portable digital recorder. Something like the Zoom H series, which goes from about 1 to 6, I think. Each individual item a bit more complicated than the last, and that actually cuts out the need for a lot of difficult hardware. You can just plonk it on the desk between you and your interviewee, your partner, and that there are different outlets for numerous microphones. So you can have up to 6 microphones, for example, on the Zoom H6. So you can set up an interview situation using this digital portable recorder, and you can also use it at events. So you can take it with you and use it as a microphone. So that's the first aspect. You also need, of course, the microphone. Now, I am quite a fan of the Rode microphones, which are quite expensive and quite sophisticated. And you can get a massive range of different ones.
There you go. You got Rode.
Yeah, excellent. So which one have you got there? Which
following your advice. I don't know what model number it is. Oh, NT USB, it says on the back. So that means anything to you.
Yeah, it does. I've got the NT1A, so we mustn't get too geeky and discuss microphones. But they're great, and I love them. And
it does make a difference, doesn't it, compared with just using standard, say, I don't know, laptop microphone or something like that.
It really does make a difference, and you really should invest in a reasonable mic. I mean, you can, as I say, there's a vast range of them and lots of information out there, but I like the Rode ones. And I also can recommend the Samson Q2U, which comes with headphones. That's why it's such a good package. Comes with headphones, it comes with a mic stand and a pop shield, which a pop shield is what you need in front of your microphone. I think you've got something like that on yours. When you're speaking, especially with the hard consonants like B's and P's, you can make a popping sound that unfortunately the microphone catches, and then it ruins the audio, or you have to cut it out, and that's just a big palaver. So you need a pop shield on the front of those, and the Samson Q2U provides you with that. So you need a digital recorder, you need a decent microphone. A lot of people will have a boom arm, so they can swing the microphone in and out of their way. If you're going to have guests, you'll need more than one microphone and boom arm. And then you'll also need the software. So what do you use, Jonathan? What do you do your audio editing on?
Yeah, so I use an app, and we'll put all this techie stuff in the comments, by the way. Yeah. I use an app called Ferrite. Did a bit of research, saw what other people were using, seems to have got reviews, and I just do it all on my iPad, so works quite well. Yeah.
Okay. So as somebody who, who's producing podcasts for other people, I feel the need to have something reasonably sophisticated or very sophisticated, and I use Adobe Audition, which I have to say, takes a bit of learning.
That sounds quite professional, that one.
Yeah,
but
it is. But it's brilliant. And there are so many videos out there that you can teach yourself how to use it. It's, I highly recommend it, but you do have to either buy it outright or pay. I think I pay something like £17 a month for a subscription. That's an outlay.
But then you're using that with a lot of clients, aren't you? So
I'm getting a really good standard. I'm getting a very good audio standard. So highly recommend that. So I think that's my basic recommendation. So
it's not really too much, is it? And if people do feel it is too much, then they can come to you. So that's the other way of other way of doing it. In terms of money going the other way, you just touched on advertising, and when I listen to podcasts quite often, that start there's like a sponsorship message. So I imagine that that's a possibility as well once you've got a big enough audience.
Yeah, and of course it does always boil down to the size of your audience, because actually getting out there to get advertisements, you normally have to show that you've got quite a sizable number of downloads. And that may be tricky, especially if you're a niche podcast. You may not actually have more than 500 people listening to you, but those 500 people really count for something, and they're more than likely perhaps to spend money with you. So then to go out to find podcast advertising, which is normally based on a per thousand number of downloads, it can be tricky. So it does depend on the size of your downloads. However, if you're a niche podcast, you might well go to a supplier who would love to get through to those 500 people that you're accessing or you're getting through to, and will be prepared to sponsor. And so that might work really well for you. There is another way. I don't know if you're familiar with Patreon, are you? This is so you can sell premium podcast content on Patreon. So for example, while 90% of your podcast is going to be freely accessible to people who want to listen to it, you might then sell an additional bit that that perhaps
super high value sort of content.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yeah. And people will happily pay for that. There's a great podcast out there at the moment on Cold War history. And the guy that does that manages to earn a little bit of money through just exactly that, by selling premium content from interviews that he's done with people. He gets the most amazing people on his podcast, the son of Khrushchev, former Soviet president who remembers all sorts of aspects from Cold War history. And he had a wonderful interview with him, and then he was able to carve off bits of the content and sell it on Patreon. That might work. That might work for you. Not you personally, but you're planning a podcast. The way it can work on a podcast is that you can get your presenter to give the sponsorship message. A great way to do it, because you've got this, you're building up trust in this one voice that you hear regularly on a particular podcast, and then to get the sponsorship message read out by this voice is proven to be quite successful in getting people's attention and getting them ready to follow and respond to the message. That's how you can do it.
Three more questions for you, and before we finish, and I think you might have just sort of touched on an answer there with your reference to the Cold War podcast. What sort of podcast do you like listening to yourself?
Well, I have to admit,
we're going to learn about you now, Serena.
Okay, I have to admit, I am of course a bit of a podcast geek, so I'll listen to anything about podcasting and podcasting trends. Yeah. And okay. I mentioned Buzzsprout earlier on, and Buzzsprout produces a fabulous podcast about podcasting trends and what's going on in the podcasting world, how you can improve your podcast. It's just brilliant. And it's an American, and I love listening to that, and I listen to it a lot. But I am also a bit of a current affairs fan. So love listening to anything political. So I'm hugely into things like Brexitcast, which is massively informative.
Is that also, the BBC one?
The BBC one, exactly, with Laura Koonsberg and Katja Adler, and who I used to work with, actually, funnily enough, in Germany. I just absolutely love that. I also love the interviews with the politicians. So Nick Robinson does a wonderful broadcast. And what it's so good about that, it's so good about his one, is that at the end of it, after he's had this long conversation and elicited information from his interviewees that you perhaps would never normally hear, he then gives his own angle on it. And I always find it incredibly interesting and so much more than you would get normally, say, listening to him on Radio 4. So I'm a big current affairs podcast fan.
Fantastic. And what would be, so, I mean, you've passed on like loads of really good value and tips already, but what would you say would be your single biggest tip when it comes to podcasting if you're producing a podcast yourself?
Oh, well, no question. You have got to have fun, engaging content. You have got to have
good answer.
You've
got
to have your listener just desperate for the next edition, and you know, I've got to listen to that. You know, so it's got to be content. You've got to plan it really well. You've got to put your mind in the mind of the listener and think about whether or not they're going to just press the off button, right? Because it's beginning to get a bit dull. So you've just got to keep pace and content in mind to show off your expertise, that of your interviewees, and engage your audience.
Fantastic. Good advice there. And final question, which I ask all my guests. I'm not sure I gave you a prompt for this one, so you might have to think on your feet. If you were to go for a nice glass of wine with any living person, who would that be and why?
Right. Okay. Quick concentration moment. Okay. I've already told you that I'm a fan of Current Affairs, and I am very caught up in the whole Brexit process. I'm fascinated by what's happening. And I would choose to go out for a drink with Kenneth Clark, because I think he is, you know, a politician who's been around for ages, and he's perhaps apt to be a little indiscreet, maybe, and he might well be over a glass of wine. And I think
you get some juicy Brexit gossip.
Get some juicy Brexit gossip. I really would, and I would enjoy that. Yeah, that's my choice.
Fantastic. Great answer. Okay, so thank you very much, everybody, for watching and listening. If you're tuned in to the podcast, don't forget you can subscribe to the Social Media Podcast on all major platforms. And please give us a review too. It all helps, if you don't mind doing that. If, of course, you've enjoyed the show. So thank you very much to Serena. You've been a brilliant guest, and lots of really interesting and useful content there about podcasts. So thank you. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the Social Media Show, please leave a review. I'd be really grateful. If you would like to make the best use of social media for your business, organization, or charity, I can help you. Please visit pollingersocial.co.uk, or you can find me on social media at pollingersocial.